The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
From the producer of the John Wick franchise, The Town, and Clash of the Titans, Gerard Butler stars in the 2020 American apocalyptic thriller survival disaster film, Greenland. Hi, I'm Ryan, and with me today is, as always, my better half, Adam. And yeah, that's pretty sweet. And nice. Today we're going to be talking about Greenland, the film, because there's nothing this podcast is known more for than talking about things that are 4 years old and that nobody cares about.
I mean, you didn't have to watch it, Ryan.
Well, you said you watched it.
Of course I watched it. You want to know what else I watched recently?
What?
Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Wow.
So we could do that one next week.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, a little bit of inside baseball for y'all. On a weekly basis, Adam and I have a text message conversation that is, hey, what did you watch and what are you about to watch? Because after we went a bit off the rails there for like 6 months and just did shows about whatever the heck, I decided like maybe we should do some shows about some media, the backbone of this podcast.
Sure.
And stop just like treating our audience so poorly. And
I don't know, some of those are really entertaining for us to listen to. I can't comment on the audience, but I like listening to those back.
I would argue, Adam, that the audience that isn't us,
yeah,
is slightly or at least equally as important.
I agree, of course.
Okay. Well, you said you watched Greenland, and I was like, all right, put it on, you know, and if I get through it, then we'll talk about it on the show because I love disaster movies. You know, like what a mistake though in this movie when there's a asteroid coming for the Earth. Actually, it's a comet named Clark.
Yes.
Coming for the Earth. That they just like didn't send out Bruce Willis and his friends to drill into it. And they had to be very specific that the comet Clark was like not even, it's a near Earth passing of a recently discovered interstellar comet. And they had to say that because the audience, of course, in that moment would be like, well, if you had any idea that it was coming, obviously you would just send Bruce Willis. Right.
Or what was that new initiative that happened for real where they shot a missile at a comet to change its trajectory? That actually happened.
At a comet?
A comet. Did comet? I say comet? Did you hear comet? I could have very
I heard
well
comet.
Said comet.
You shot a nuke at a comet. You got a negative comet and you're like, let's nuke them.
Yeah, let's nuke them because no one needs that negativity around here. But yes, that's a real thing that happens. They fired a missile at a comet and it changed its trajectory. It was a test to say like if there was a Earth-threatening piece of rock flying through the space that we could change it and have it not hit us.
NASA's DART mission hits asteroid in first ever planetary defense test.
Yeah, it's Space Force, baby.
2022.
Yeah.
After 10 months flying in space, NASA's double asteroid redirection test, aka DART,
Dirt.
The world's first planetary defense technology demonstration. I just like the idea that it's called the double asteroid redirection test, but at some point it was like the double asteroid get out of there test, and they were like, no, we need a better anagram than that.
But yeah, it's real, and it happened. Like, and I mean, this was a few years before that test, but like, you know, in movie universe, wouldn't they like think of that being a plausible option? Let's fire a nuke at it and see what happens.
Hurt? Would that hurt the asteroid?
Who cares?
Whoa. So like, you've made it pretty clear that you're not an ally
to the asteroid alliance?
Yeah, right.
Nah.
You're not an AA.
No.
The Asteroid Alliance. Anyway, let's talk about Greenland because we both watched it.
We did. What were your vibes?
My vibes were that... So I read up a little bit. Originally, okay. Gerard Butler's was going to be played by Chris Evans. And it was going to be directed by Neil Blomkamp.
Really? Like District 9 Neil Blomkamp?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then... that went down the tubes, and they brought on Butler and Rick Roman Waugh, and it was a budget of $35 million and made $52 million, which is apparently enough. No, or it wasn't enough there, but it was then released on HBO Max and Amazon Prime, and they spent another $10 million promoting the film.
Did they
and
really?
A lot of people have watched it.
I mean, it's one of those movies that I don't know. Like, I just love disaster movies. I think it's the populace has proven that disaster movies are cool.
Yeah. It got sold to HBO for $30 million.
What
so, like,
in the world?
Yeah. And a lot of people like it. That's enough, by the way, that it was announced that a sequel titled Greenland Migration was in development. What?
Oh, you know, that makes sense, though, after the ending, so.
Right, the Garrity's journey across the European wasteland to find a new home.
Yeah.
Gonna have a $65 million budget. Oof. Anyway, my general feelings about Greenland was that, like, as long as... It was one of those turn-your-brain-off...
Yes.
Surface level...
Absolutely.
Cool to see explosions. Some people get hit with rocks and you see it happen and that's gnarly as heck.
It was pretty gnarly.
And I think they did an okay job with like the emotional arc of the main characters and the side characters. I honestly like this movie about an asteroid or a comet named Clark made me care about its characters more than like most bad action movies.
Yeah, I mean the way the whole movie started was like really jarring because it's happy. Oh, they're going through a potential like divorce and like the kid's there and doesn't want that to happen obviously. But like the whole scene where the emergency alert goes off and their friends and neighbors are like, why did you get chosen? And like, it just turns into chaos so quickly. And I truly felt bad for them. Cause like, well, what are you gonna do?
Yeah. And that's right after Tampa Bay, Florida gets destroyed.
Destroyed.
And Gerard Butler goes outside while standing in Atlanta and gets blown over by the impact, which is bad. That's how you know Tampa is gone.
And then they showed the footage of Tampa's impact. Holy God, I just like literally like looked out my window and had a brain fart.
don't look out there.
Yes, the moment of impact from a news helicopter that absolutely got destroyed as well,
also vaporized. Yeah,
vaporized.
And then John receives a call with instructions to head to an Air Force base for an evacuation because Clark is on a direct collision course with the Earth and the entire planet is about to be bombarded with hundreds of fragments over the next 2 days. And then at the end, the one big fragment is going to hit, which is a straight up extinction level event. We call it, what do they call it in Armageddon? I don't know why, but I just looked outside, blanked, and my head went finger of God.
Finger of God. I'm not sure. I know what you're talking about, though, just from seeing Armageddon. But yeah, it's an extinction level event. You know, it's not going to explode the Earth into a million pieces, but it's going to cause atmospheric chaos and nuclear winter and all that wonderful stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, it's going to come to me at some point. I see it. It's a down low shot, vintage Michael Bay, and Billy Ray Cyrus, Bob Thornton says it.
Sure.
And it's what we call the worst parts of the Bible. It's what we call a
you know what apocalyptic I'm event.
No, oh, that's no. It's what they call the you don't even get it. Whatever. So the Garrity's, yes, you just described a scene where they get a call because Gerard Butler is playing a structural engineer and he builds buildings. So they need those for the new world after Clark destroys it. And so they get a call in front of other people, and then them leaving and the other people being in the street, wholly upsetting.
Oh yeah. And then the mother bringing her daughter out screaming, crying. And like, I don't remember the woman's name who played his wife, but she was great.
Marina Baccarin.
Yeah. Very famous. I know who she is. I just don't know her name. And, incredible. She's great. Really good.
She's so, so good. That scene where her son gets kidnapped by Roy from The Office, and
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, that was, and then the other woman whom I last saw in Perry Mason, like some bigger, like, especially like character actors in this one. Yeah, they jacked the kid. They and so Marina Baccarin was like, no, stop, but yeah, more convincing way. She's sure. She gave off the vibe of almost being too good of an actor for the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just me hating, I guess.
And so another actor who I didn't even know was this big of an actor, but he was a former Vine star, the black guy.
King Bosch.
Yes, that's his name.
Yeah.
Yes, he was in. I was like, what the hell is he doing in here?
Yeah, and by the way, that scene as well, we're jumping around, but that scene when Gerard Butler is again trying to find his family because they've all been separated, he's in the back of a moving truck, and everyone hears his Scottish accent, and one guy's just like, give me the wristband. You know what I like about this movie? Yeah. All of the main characters not only tell the truth, but just understand reality. It's something I talked about last week, how I didn't like Three Body Problem, how they just spent so much time, the main characters, that is, not understanding reality. The woman in the middle of the street being like, take my daughter.
Yes.
And all the main characters are like, they won't let her come in. Yeah. She'll just be alone.
Right. Yeah, I remember them saying that too. Like, why would you want your daughter to be alone? Like, it literally said, under no circumstances bring anyone besides who we told you to.
Right. And then also when the guy is telling Gerard Butler to give him his bracelet, Gerard Butler's like, I would have to cut it. It won't be any good to you. Also, you have to show your ID. And the guy was like, I'll take your ID too. And Gerard Butler was like, that doesn't make any sense, man.
You don't
look like me. And then everyone around them is being irrational, but they're being rational.
Sure.
I don't know why, but it was just so, I was like, thank God. Like,
finally, some realism.
And just people saying the obvious truth was so, so comforting.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. We've jumped around so much at this point that even the kid, I'm just going to go jump around more. Even
you go,
the kid
go right into it.
With his insulin. Okay, yeah. So they get to the Air Force base. They get in, but then the kid's insulin gets left in the truck, which, by the way, kid, like, how so dumb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very dumb. He knows he needs it. He knows.
Don't just, like, forget it in the truck. Yeah. But he's a kid. He wanted his blanket, whatever. So yeah, Gerard Butler goes back and gets it. And then retroactively, the kid gets denied because he has diabetes, which is a real big bummer.
You know what? I'll just comment this real quick before you keep going. They had already so they let them in the first time. They only found out that he had diabetes after they were in and on the plane. Remembering that sequence?
You are.
So they had already updated their system in all of that chaos to say, nah, if they tried to get scanned again. They did that? Really?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that the American military, a lot of which are going to die soon, and yes. they know it.
Mm-hmm.
Retconned in real life, letting a little boy in.
Yeah.
I do think that was the worst part of the movie, where that lady would have been like, I don't care. I'm going to vaporize in 2 days. Get on the plane.
Right.
Also, I might sneak on the plane.
Yeah, I think I'm going to sneak there too.
But it's it's a crux, right, of the whole movie. You got to not let that kid on, and you got to separate the entire fam, or this movie doesn't work. So yes, while that is unrealistic, I at the time was like, all right. I mean, that's dumb, but fine.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, you then also have a generic old character being like, I ain't leaving.
That's Bruce Dern, right? Is that Bruce Dern?
It is not.
The dad?
It is not.
Oh, not the dad, not her dad? That's not what you're talking about.
No, that ain't Bruce Dern. He gives Bruce Dern vibes?
Oh my God, you're right. They literally were the same person in my head. I know exactly who this guy is.
It's Scott Glenn.
Yeah. He does look like Bruce Dern a little bit.
But 100%. I do love that they were like, Dad, come with us. Nah.
I'm going to stay here.
I'm going to stay
in my shop.
Your mother died here, and I will be there. I'll be dying here too. Take my truck. It has gas.
And it's beautiful and brand new.
It's a brand new truck. It has gas. Take my truck. I'll be here dying. So they then go, and then someone comes over the radio and is like, oh, man. The good thing you're not in New York, because it's going to start raining comets. And Gerard Butler is like, oh, no.
We're here.
Oh, no, that's right where we are. Yeah. And by the way, they're going to Canada. Because Gerard Butler knows that there is a plane that's leaving there that's going to Greenland. He knows that from King Bash, and who's now so dead. Oh, yeah. Let's go back, actually.
That was a bummer.
At the end of that scene, right?
Yeah.
The fight causes the truck to go off the road.
Yes.
All the people to fly out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two guys who are trying to get the bracelet are still trying to do so. They were attacking Gerard Butler with a hammer.
Yeah.
And he gets the hammer first. And he's trying to fight them off. And he has a weapon and they now don't. Mm. And everybody's watching. And they're still being irrational and still trying to get the thing from him. Until one of them gets clocked in the head with the hammer.
Sure.
I'm going to say it. I loved this scene.
it was tense and for sure. Did you see how he ran away too?
Yeah.
He ran away all hunched over woo.
Yeah. He ran away I cannot believe I was just forced to hammer a guy in the head.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then his friend is dead. Everyone's just going through it, man.
I know. That was a... The events that happen in this movie, you know, through each scene, they start, it's a slow roll, and then it's just chaos for 5 minutes straight, and then it stops. But I think that's what I love about it. It keeps you on the edge, and you don't know when it's going to happen. And yeah, I'm again, reinforcing that I really love these type of movies. As bad as they may be, although this wasn't that bad, as bad as they may be, I'd still like it and watch it because I just love that.
Yeah, no, especially this one. That's what I'm saying. This movie is good. It was good enough. And the reason it was good enough is because it was really easy to put yourself in the main character's shoes.
Yeah.
Main characters who are making like the right choices at all times and trying their best. And then at the same time, it wasn't that cringy when Gerard Butler was like, "I'm sorry for cheating on you. That was my that was my bad."
Oh, I'm gonna get your daughter to Greenland, and I'm gonna get him in that bunker. I don't know why it changed. Why he has a different accent, but
no, I like it. Say more things in that accent.
I'm gonna get him in that bunker. I'm gonna make him live and survive. The only problem with that is that they made it to the bunker, right? They made it in the bunker. The comet hit, world ended. I know I'm jumping forward a little bit, but that's fine. And the sun still has diabetes.
Right.
So how is this going to go? They opened that door. There's nothing there. Like, that kid's... Like, how are they going to do that? That was my first thought after they opened the door. I'm like, well, that kid's dead.
Right.
Like, do they have that much insulin? Because the only people that were supposed to be in those bunkers were people without illnesses.
That's... You make a solid point just now.
Right? Is he going to die in the second movie?
Here's the thing. No. But I bet like some president has diabetes and we don't even know it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And then they have a stockpile of
they
insulin.
They have to have president insulin.
Well, you know what? Actually, that's a good point, because as the credits were starting to appear, they're having you hear the radio broadcasts of all the nations that have bunkers and people are safe. So I assume that while the U.S. government decided to have only people that have no health concerns, maybe other countries decided, let's pack a 700 pallets of insulin.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a scene. We are about to be vaporized in 2 days, but we're also packing pallets.
Sure.
Hey, did you grab the one from the outside over there? There's just one more.
You know, do we have to?
No, I mean, no, we don't. You know what? Let's do this one thing well, right?
Okay.
What are we going to be remembered for?
Not much.
Oh my God, you're right. Throw away this
insulin. I'm a private.
Yeah, let's leave.
You know what? I'm going to poke a hole in each one.
And scene. The kid dies and it's Larry's fault. Larry was in Tampa.
Yeah.
And as you know, it did not go well in Tampa.
Didn't go well, no.
Why choose Tampa? I know that they wanted to do Atlanta because that's where they were shooting, because you shoot things in Atlanta to make it cheap. But yeah. Like, you had to do a city close enough where Gerard Butler gets like blown over. But it really did open up the floodgates for like, well, who even cares? It's Tampa.
Yeah. Some of the reviews I was watching of this movie after I finished it was, of course they chose Florida. It was doomed anyway.
That's right. Like, it feels like low hanging fruit.
Yeah, but honestly, like, I mean, it's true, right? Even in the Greenland universe.
Yeah.
They're still like, yeah, Florida sucks anyway.
And then at the end, the flight to Greenland and them pulling up in the truck and stopping the airplane, and then seeing other cars get there too late.
Yeah, that was a bummer. But I actually had a slight problem with this scene too.
Which one?
Like where they approach the plane on the runway and pretty much force the plane to stop driving or they would crash. Once everyone was stopped and the pilot got out of the plane and Gerard Butler got out of the plane, like what's stopping them from just freaking killing Gerard Butler's family to get going onto the plane? Because as a pilot, he said, we're already at like weight capacity almost. Another three bodies is a lot for a plane that size.
No, that's exactly what would happen. They would have gotten shot. Somebody would have moved the truck. And like that in reality is what would have happened.
Sure.
And
so, but then there wouldn't be a movie.
I think, yes. I think chalk it up to insulin. Get out of here.
Right. It's the same thing.
It's the same. Like the movie doesn't work unless that happens. And But it's but movies like this tend to have like 10 moments like that. And for this one to have two or three, honestly insane.
Yeah, it's redeemable. I was pretty bummed because the pilot ended up being like a very cool guy. I was bummed when he got killed in the crash, like up against the wall. But I mean, there was no way he was surviving that. He crashed into a freaking cliff.
Yeah, and their rocks came on him. The rocks. Yeah. That was a oof.
I think it was, were they icicles?
Well,
was it icicles that stabbed through him?
Probably a mixture. Probably a mixture.
There's snow and ice, sure.
But when the plane gets hit by the shockwave and the engines go out.
Oh, terrible.
What a great scene. I was like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah, there was a lot of really good like representation of what it feels like if it were to really happen, like how it would actually go. Like it seemed to be like obey the laws of physics and like made sense. It wasn't over the top. It was very real.
And then they just had to glide.
Oh, yeah. With being overweight by three people, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, like, yeah, I know that we all ruined the movie for you just now, but like, I don't know.
You know, if you're listening, you should probably come to expect that.
For an apocalyptic thriller survival disaster film, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it. I you know, if they really are making a sequel, I'll be interested to watch it, especially if they're getting a huge budget increase. Like, I'm expecting some pretty epic sets.
They're doubling the budget. World. Yeah. And it should feel like Fallout, right? Basically, right?
Man, speaking of Fallout,
okay,
that's coming out today.
What?
All of the episodes are launching today, I believe.
Every one of them?
8 or 9 p.m. today, yeah. Today, April 10th, right? It's April 10th.
That's the day that we're recording this, yes.
We're recording this, yeah. So if you are interested in watching Fallout and didn't hear the news, it's coming out a little early, so you can watch that.
Yeah, we'll probably do something about it on the show. So
yeah, I would like to because I posted the in our Discord the initial reviews, and they're looking pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down. I mean, I'm definitely going to watch it.
Do you not want to watch it?
No. What I really just don't want to be... Like, sure. I just don't want to be a Debbie Downer on a podcast about a show that you really like. So like, but like, I just know that going into it, I'm like, okay, Ryan, don't be a bummer.
Ryan, I want you to be fully you.
A bummer?
Because if that's what you choose to be for a show, sure.
I don't want it. I want to like it.
So I want to like it too, but there's a very good chance that there's some stuff in there that I will not like, and I won't, and I will express it in a very extreme way because
this is the way we set up you like going in, and then we totally switch.
Yeah, right. I hate it. You love it.
I like it, Adam. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I have a feeling that I will generally like it, but there's going to be some things that I won't like. I can already tell from the trailer what they released. There's just some things that I won't like about it, and it is what it is. But overall, it looks to be pretty cool. Like if you like the game, so we'll see how it goes.
I agree. And as I told you a few weeks ago, I do want to for a last thing.
Yeah.
Adam is a huge F1 fan.
Oh my God, I was waiting for you to say this.
And I want to have like Adam's F1 corner every week just because I like hearing people be passionate about something they love, even when I don't love the thing. And I want to, you know, I want to learn from the master.
Master.
What's going on in the world of F1, Adam?
Well, I'll say, Ryan, I'll give you a lot of credit because you actually like look at the race results and in times like actually watch some of the race in real time. It sounds like at certain times.
I've never watched a race in real time. I have watched highlights.
Highlights during the race. So you've seen highlights during the race as it's happening.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know if Max Verstappen has finished or not prior to the race ending.
Yeah, just assume he does. But
well, he didn't that one time.
You're right. He didn't. And it was a nice change of pace. But yeah, I just, you know, I give you a lot of credit because like that's something that I like and you don't have to do it, but you do. And
that's what being a friend is.
Sure. You got to give me something that you really like that I can do the same thing for.
Oh,
yeah, just simmer on that one. I'll talk about racing.
Professional
right now.
Disc golf.
yeah, but you and I have watched that together.
Yeah, solid point. I'll think about it.
All right. So, yeah, so the F1 world is, you know, there's some very consistent things that are happening, like Max Verstappen winning every race he finishes, and by a pretty good margin, 15, 20, 30 seconds. That's what happens when you have the fastest car on the grid and have the racing chops to also pilot it. But, Carlos Sainz, Ferrari driver, I'm sure you've heard his name. He doesn't have a seat next year, but he's the only Ferrari driver that has won a race in the last 2 years, I think, something like that. The other Ferrari driver, Charles Leclerc, has not won a race. I think he's been on the podium, but they're getting rid of Carlos for Lewis Hamilton, who is the Mercedes dream boy. I think that's a bad move. So we'll see how it goes. But this, we're only three races in. So it's still very early. But I am thinking, yeah, Max is going to take this world championship title this year for sure, just based on his car. Sergio Perez, his teammate for Red Bull, is getting the second spot often as well, so they're likely going to win the Constructors' Championship. But if Ferrari is fighting as they are, there's a chance there for them to take it if something goes wrong. I'm also a very big Fernando Alonso fan, Aston Martin. He's doing very well, and his teammate Lance Stroll, who's terrible, it's just he's there because his dad owns the team. I want him out so badly. But there's some cool rumors coming up. Rumors Sebastian Vettel might be returning, taking Lewis Hamilton's seat. There's a lot of drama going on with Red Bull. Christian Horner, team principal, is in trouble for like sexual misconduct or whatever. There's like a investigation happening. There's a lot going on with F1s.
Just as your PR representative, Adam, I know you mean well and your intentions are good, but I would refrain from saying the phrase sexual misconduct or whatever.
Well, that's what it is. There was sexual misconduct.
Yeah, it's the whatever part that is.
There are other charges. I don't know what they are.
Murder
or other accusations, should I say?
If it was murder, that'd be cool.
He was cleared of all of these accusations, and the murder one specifically. But the woman has
that he murdered.
The woman has spoken out again against the team and against F1, and they're opening up the investigation again. And yeah, there's quite a few accusations rolling around to that man, which is a bummer because he started that team from the ground up. He's been the principal the whole time. He's very good. But we may see him leave the sport at the end of this year.
Yeah, sure. People who are good at their jobs can be bad people.
Yeah, for sure. There's several of them come to light. And
let me tell you, I just want to tell you, while I'm a great guy and yeah, I watch F1 just to be able to talk about it with my good friend Adam.
Cool.
While you were doing your F1 corner, I was watching Armageddon.
Of course.
And the phrase is, it's what we call a global killer.
A global killer.
I was just jumping around. It's at 11 minutes and 29 seconds. I had all the captions on and I was like, I am going to find this while he talks about Carlos Sainz.
I did do a search while you were talking about it earlier, and I couldn't find it.
It's so annoying.
So this is a very sporadic F1 corner. I had nothing planned, but I will be more cognizant next time.
Yeah, write something out. Have this be, you know what? Best case scenario, the HBO Boys needs to change its name to the F1 Boys because it becomes the most popular F1 podcast known to man. And I swear to God, if that's how we make it, by me listening to you talk about Formula One. Anyway, thanks for joining us here on the HBO Boys to talk about both Formula One and the movie.
There's so many better Formula One podcasts.
2020 American. Oh, yeah, this one's going to be the best one. Apocalyptic thriller disaster film, Greenland. You can join our Patreon or not, whatever. Patreon.com/HBOBYZ. It's $1 a month. You get to join a private Discord where you talk to us. And like, it's only like 10% cringe. And also we say your name at the end of the show, which Adam's about to do right now, which is like the best part.
And as your PR representative, as you're displaying the podcast channel and subscription, maybe not do subscribe to our Patreon or whatever.
What do you mean?
But You said that. You said
subscribe
you
to our Patreon.
You said subscribe or not, whatever.
Oh. Oh, all right, sure, yeah.
Anyway,
I'm going to note that down.
Yeah, good, good. We'd like to thank our patrons, Sunshine Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Adam Donging Ryan, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, and Buffalo Pizzle. Thank you very much for being our patrons and subscribers and supporting what we do. That's pretty chill. We'd also like to thank Sunshine and Brent Ginn for being our $5 a month tier patrons. Thank you very much. If you want to up your subscription, I will say your name there too. Please follow us on all of our socials at the HBO Boys Pod on Instagram, Threads, at the HBO Boys, TikTok, all that wonderful stuff. You can find us. Just search our name, and we're likely there, and we may or may not be updating. Although I've been saying this the past couple of episodes, I've been pretty active on Threads. So if you do have Threads, please like our posts. Please follow me. Please interact. That would be very cool. There's some other neat podcasting channels there that are very supportive. So we're on there. But yeah, that's my spiel, dude.
Okay, I liked it.
Oh, side note, Ryan.
Yeah.
Remember how at our D&D campaign, I was talking about how I got a new set of dice coming?
Oh yeah,
bro, I got them in. Mm-hmm. I sent them to the chat. You saw them.
I saw them. They looked so cool.
I just want to tell the listeners.
Describe them in detail.
If you're into, well, I don't want to spend that much time, but if you're into D&D, if you're into D&D, there's a website called Runic Dice, not a sponsor, but they make dice out of gemstones and glass and stuff. And I got one that's gray cat's eye. It's very cool. And I will post a picture of it on our Discord potentially so you can see it. Very cool. I just wanted to bring that up that I really love this dice and I can't wait for you to see them at our next session, dude.
I can't wait to see them in real life because
yeah.
Seeing them, you know what's also fun?
Mm.
I looked at the sun directly the other day when there was another ball in the sky that was supposed to go in front of it and it did eventually. Sure. And then I went on the internet and saw like way better pictures and videos. And I was like, it's a bummer that like I was just standing outside while working. I was standing there by myself being like, ow, it hurts my eyes. And then
did you not have glasses on?
I have my regular glass. I'm joking. I used my phone.
Jesus
obviously.
Christ.
I'm not a dumb, dumb idiot boy. But at the same time, I then saw pictures or videos of like hundreds of people gathering around being like, oh, yeah. And they were so excited. And I was so jelly, except for the fact that like that requires like leaving your house. And I was like, ugh, no, gross. But like,
yeah, the totality when you're in the darkness shadow, the full totality, it's pretty chill. Jamie was in full totality.
I don't like the word totality.
Totality.
It's just so like, it feels pretentious.
You're so totality chill.
Oh, were you in the totality? Hey, Adam, when you watched the eclipse, were you in the totality?
We were in the most of the totality.
The mostality?
The total of totalities.
God, we gotta end this show. Okay, bye.
Bye.